Let's pray and then we'll get into tonight's message. Heavenly Father, we need you once again as always. And Lord, as we open up your word, I pray that this one thought would be made clear. And God, that however we may find a weakness in this character trait, Lord, you'd help us as we go forward. Lord, help us to grow. Lord, teach us from your word. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Many a surveys, I don't know if you like surveys or lists or something of that sort, but many a surveys have been done of the greatest president. And a lot of people go here and there. Some say this person, some say that person. But somewhere in the top two or three is always the first president of the United States, George Washington. He led a ragtag army to victory over a superior force. These are men that are going into battle with pitchforks and rakes up against the strongest army in the world. And somehow God moved his hand upon that. Not that there wasn't bloodshed, but God moved his hand upon that and made a very proudful army bow before a inferior but yet victorious army. He was inspiring to the nation. He was our first president, and it's said of him that he was not only honest, disciplined, brave, but he was also gentle. Reverend Henry Muhlenberg, he was the pastor of Valley Forge Lutheran Church in 1777, said this of President Washington: "I heard a fine example today, namely that His Excellency General Washington rode around among his army yesterday and admonished each and every one to fear God and to practice the Christian virtues. From all appearances, this gentleman," this is what the pastor says of General Washington, "from all appearances, this gentleman does not belong to the so-called world of society, for he respects God's word, believes in the atonement through Christ." Now listen to this. "And bears himself in humility and gentleness." You don't think of a war hero with the attribute of gentleness. You don't think of the man that led an inferior army against the strongest army in the world as gentle. That's not the, if I were picking out generals, I'm not looking for the gentle guy. Kind of, maybe if you've ever had to have legal advice and you're looking to hire a lawyer, you're looking for someone that's a little more tenacious, not laid back, not easygoing. You want someone that's going to go after somebody. Well, so it is in a general. You're looking for a person that's going to lead heroes into enemy lines. You're looking for a hero or a general that's going to be brave amongst enemy fire, Chase. When people are shooting guns at you, you don't want them to go, "Hey, let's back up a little bit, guys." No, you want someone that's going to toe the line and push forward. You want someone that can lead men against improbable odds. Quite honestly, you're not looking for someone who's gentle. You're looking for someone who is strong and tough. And we feel like maybe in our minds, the two cannot coincide, meaning the two cannot dwell together. How can I be strong and gentle at the same time? Well, President Washington, by an outsider's view of that, was just that. He was a strong, inspiring force. He did not back up when faced with a difficulty, but his spirit was one of humility and gentleness. How about you and I? Can we take these two attributes of being strong and gentle at the same time? It is difficult for gentleness and strength to coexist. Jesus did it. Let's look at some verses. Revelation chapter 5. I'm just going to have someone read it. I want someone to get Revelation chapter 5 and another person to get John chapter 1. Not sword drill style, but we're just going to have you read that. All right. Roger, where are you at?
Revelation 5.
All right. Find Revelation 5:5, and then you have John 1. Okay, John 1:29 I want you to read. So I want you to listen to these two verses and see how they, in a mind, almost seem we have the strong side and we have the gentle side. Now, Christ is going to always be in our life the perfect example. God says, this is what I want. And so many times we come to the Scripture and say, that's just not possible. And then we study the Scriptures and see Jesus Christ, and He exhibited or exemplified that perfectly. So tonight we're going to quickly look at this, and then we're going to make application personally to us. So Revelation 5:5 says what, Roger?
And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, and to loose the seven seals thereof.
Here we see the strength of Christ, calling Him the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Now Chase is going to stand up and read nice and loud John 1:29. So here on one side, we see Jesus Christ as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And on the other side, He's called the Lamb of God. Well, again, I've told you before, but I kind of like watching animal videos. I like watching the lion. When I see this come across my Instagram feed or something like that, you see the lion sitting there and you see Impala walking by, and you're like, oh yeah, this is going to go good, because I know how this works out. And sure enough, the lion goes after, and he grabs a hold of the back of the Impala, brings it down, comes around, puts his mouth just on the neck, not to puncture it, just to choke it out. And then his buddies come, and they all have Thanksgiving. And then we're told that lion, who's the only one powerful enough to open up the seals and break the seals, is also called the Lamb of God. If there's ever a story of, hey, how'd you get injured? Oh, a lamb hurt me. You're not sharing that story. For sake of being able to keep your man card or whatever it is, you don't tell people that you got hurt by a lamb. Why? Because one is the example of strength, and the other is the example of gentleness. And yet Christ can carry both of those attributes. In Revelation chapter 19, Andrew, can you go to Revelation 19? And then Matt, can you read John 10? Not the whole thing. All right. Revelation 19:16. So listen to this verse, Andrew. Go ahead. Tell us about Jesus Christ. This is going to be the strong side. Go ahead. Revelation 19:16.
And he hath on his vesture, and on his thigh,
the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So it tells us that He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, exhibiting His strength, His power. And then we read John chapter 10 and verse 14. So here, not only He's the King of Kings, but He's also the gentle shepherd that brings the sheep along. So how can we be both strong and gentle? Christ could do it. Let's go to Revelation chapter 19, the last comparison. Revelation 19, you can go there. I'll go to Mark chapter 10. Revelation chapter 19. Becca, are you at Revelation 19? Can you read verse 15? Listen to what it tells us about Christ here. Go ahead. So here comes Christ, flaming sword coming out of his mouth, stomping his enemies. That shows his strength. But then I go to Mark chapter 10 and I read about, and they brought young children to him in verse 13, that he should touch them. How do you touch a child? Gently. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you," and we know the rest of the story. But in verse 16 it says this, "And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them." Revelation 19, 15 says, a flaming fire of a sword comes flying out of his mouth, and he tramples his enemies in the power of Almighty God, and at the same time, he can have a little child sit upon his lap, telling me it's possible that strength and gentleness to coexist. Too often times we look at gentleness as a weakness. What is gentleness? To be gentle means to, listen, if you're writing this down, if you're taking notes, gentle means to respond tenderheartedly to the needs of others. And yes, Christ never let up in his effort to overcome sin, but yet he was still able to respond gently to the needs of others. We see that as the Lamb of God. We saw that as the shepherd over the sheep. We saw that as he holds the little children. Jesus Christ being the greatest example of strong and gentle. Say, well, I'm just not the gentle type. I'm a little more rough around the edges. Gentleness is just not a character trait I hold. I'm a man's man. Bark out orders. Maybe that's some of our ladies too. I'm a ladies' lady. I don't know. Does that transfer? Do we lose that in translation? Hey, I'm a little sharp around the edges. You don't want to cross my path. I'm not sure that's godly. Well, that's just my character trait. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. And here's our personal application of gentleness. Not that we ever give up on our, I guess, tenacity against sin, but we ought to be responding tenderheartedly to the needs of others. That's called being gentle. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faith." Oh, we missed one. Well, that's just not my character trait. Gentleness. To which I say true. Naturally, we are not gentle. Gentleness is not something naturally manufactured. It requires the work of God from the inside, and then we'll see it on the outside. Gentleness, though, is a character trait from someone who walks with the Lord. The fruit of the Spirit. Hey, the having fellowship with God Himself produces gentleness. So how do you know? Because that's who Christ was. That's what Christ was about. Say, wasn't he strong? Oh yeah, he never gave up in strength. But he never compromised gentleness either. The fruit of the Spirit from walking with the Lord. It cannot be overemphasized how important it is to have a personal relationship with Christ, because there's so much that happens as a byproduct of that. And one of those things is gentleness. There is no excuse for us as Christians, we can't go to God and say, that just wasn't me. You have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God, don't you? He's made a way for us to have that. Say, well, it's not natural. Of course it's not natural. If it was natural, it wouldn't be the fruit of the Spirit. It would be in the previous list, the fruit of the flesh. If it was natural, it's not supposed to be necessarily easy. It's supposed to take conscious effort, separation from the world, an attachment to God Himself, a fellowship with the Lord. And what comes out? Gentleness. It is a fruit of the Spirit. It is a mark of the servant. Look at this. I love this passage. This passage, 2 Timothy chapter 2, really describes exactly what I'm trying to show you here tonight. Timothy is the understudy, if you will, the disciple of Paul himself. And Paul is trying to help Timothy with some things. And he's trying to give him some advice, some encouraging words. Hey, Timothy, sometimes the ministry gets a little difficult. Sometimes the ministry takes the wind out of your sails. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2 in verse 1, it says, now therefore my son, Timothy was not his actual physical son, but he spent so much time with him, it was like his son. He says this, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. What is he encouraging him? Hey, disciple other people. Look at what verse 3 says. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Pretty straightforward. It's what I think of with a general. It's what I think of when I'm looking for the qualifications of a leader. I want someone that can handle hard times. Someone that can endure hardness. Ladies, if you're looking for a husband, find someone that can endure hardness. Say why? Because life brings hardness. And you don't want the guy, the minute hardness comes, his knees to buckle, and he cowers in the corner. You need someone to stand at the door and say, that's not coming in here. This is God's house, and I will not allow that to come into my family. You need someone that's going to endure that. It's not easy. It's not fun either. But as a servant of God, there ought to be some ability to endure hardness. Saying, that doesn't sound very gentle. I'm thinking of a soldier in the midst of battles. In the same chapter, look at what he says to the same servant of God. In verse 24, it says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle. Paul is telling Timothy, hey, you got to endure hardness. You're going to have to be able to withstand some things. You're going to have to be strong, and you're going to have to be gentle. You don't have to be you're going to have to be gentle. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Paul is telling Timothy, hey, you're going to have to figure out a balance between strength and gentleness. It's not unheard of. The two, although you feel like they are enemies to each other. I don't know if maybe some of you guys watch mixed martial arts. All right, I don't know whoever the popular guy is now. Hey, go out there and you're going to rip his head off, but do it gently. No, that's not how you train. I've seen these guys train and some of the things that they do. Some of these little flyweight guys, the lightweight guys, man, they hit so hard. They got these big guys and they hit them one time in the stomach and man, they drop. What is it? That there's some hardness there. You got to be able to take a punch. You got to be able to keep going with it. But there's no gentleness. The servant of God must be able to endure and stand for some things, but at the same time, respond tenderheartedly to the needs of others. So how do you do that? By God's help. It's the fruit of the Spirit. If you could do it on your own without the Lord's help, it wouldn't be the fruit of the Spirit, would it? It would be your ability. Tonight's message is called The Gentle Giant. We are called to be giants amongst maybe our children or our family members, of a pillar of strength, but we're to do it gently. We'll just leave it. You've been fighting with the elephant all night. Just, you lost. I don't know what else to say. It's all right. You all right? Did it hurt you in any way? Okay, good. If it did, we'd have to go back to endure hardness as a good soldier. The mark of a servant, yes, to endure hardness. What is this? This is battling false teaching. It's battling sin. It's standing up for what is right and what is true. But at the same time, being gentle unto all men, teaching the truth of the Word of God with meekness and gentleness. That's an effective servant of Christ. Not someone that's going to run away when it gets hard, but not someone that can't sympathize with those that are going through a difficult time. It's the mark of the servant. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, our last verse tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7. If ever there was a picture of gentleness, it's found in this verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7. But we were gentle among you. Look at the comparison he makes. Even as a nurse cherisheth her children. Is there anything more gentle than a mother caring for and loving on a little infant child? A mother cherishing her infant. We get a picture of that. That helps me understand what gentleness looks like. But you try and do that baby harm, whoa, all of a sudden there's a fierceness. The people of God have been placed in a situation, in a circumstance, that we need to be gentle with not only our actions, but our words. Yes, we admonish sin strongly, but we correct individuals gently and lovingly. Do you see how the two? We can be strong against sin, but when dealing with somebody, gently and lovingly. Say, that's hard. Again, it's a fruit of the Spirit. Words can be, they can be used as weapons. But they also can be sweet and bring healing when spoken by people walking in the Spirit. Look at, our last verse. Proverbs chapter 16. Hey, be gentle. And verse 24. Proverbs 16, 24. Pleasant words are as honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. What is that? That's gentleness. It's not that we turn a blind eye towards sin. No, we call sin out, but the individual, we deal gently with. Let's be people known for strength and gentleness alike. Ask yourself these questions. Do my words and actions imitate Christ-like gentleness? Am I aware of the gentleness the Lord shows me as the Good Shepherd? You know, so oftentimes we're somehow upset with the Lord. You've been rough with me. He has not been rough. He's been gentle. I see what His rough looks like. We looked at some of those verses. And ask yourself this, what can I do to help grow the fruit of gentleness. Today was a blessing. We made our first batch of salsa verde. Just got inspired. I went to Kirby's and they had their tomatillos sitting out. Theirs looked about a third of the size of mine. I said, hey, how do you know when to pick these? And she's like, well, those are done. Well, if those are done, mine are huge. Mine are way past done. So I went home, quick Googled, thankful for Google, looked up how to make salsa verde. And there we enjoyed the fruit of much watering and caring and keeping kids away. Took 8 tomatillos and we grilled them up and took a couple poblanos peppers and we put some lime juice and salt and blended it all up and dipped chips in it. And it was great. It was good. It was pretty good. I'm not a big fan of cilantro, but I needed a touch of cilantro. So why are you saying all that? Just so you can picture in your mind the fruit of effort. Today it was worth it. Say, I'm not gentle. What are you going to do today to start cultivating the fruit of gentleness? Say, well, that's just not me. That's not the right answer. That's not going to be a viable excuse when we get to heaven. And God says, you didn't look anything like me. Say, well, that's just not how I was born. Exactly. That's why I died for you. I'm trying to undo the natural man. I don't know if the conversation's going to like that, but we're just not going to have that conversation with God. We're not going to be able to tell God, you didn't make me that way. If it's the fruit of the Spirit and I have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God, it ought to be something that gets my attention and my efforts. Gentleness. We can't just turn the page on that. That ought to be a description. And I tried to be careful tonight in showing you that it is in no way compromising or tolerating sin. It's not a weakness. It's actually quite a strength to be able to be gentle. It shows that you have control over your spirit. Today we played our favorite game at VBS. It was called Zonk. Caleb Rodell was up at bat. And here he was, and he was going through, and he kept making decisions, and it was taking all that I had to feel gentle and kind with him. Say, what was he doing? He just kept going and going and going. And we almost lost a lot of points. But he did great. 47 scoops of rice he won for us. Awesome. And you know what? Sometimes life has a way to put something in front of you to test gentleness. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's a coworker. And maybe today, even today, you felt like, I failed there. Well, good news, you have tomorrow. And begin to cultivate in your garden the fruits of the Spirit. Walk with God. Get close to Christ. For those attributes will come out very soon. Pastor Seatman, you have some important announcements for us tonight.